Well, this is Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to you fathers. I want to just ask if all the fathers, if you would please stand up. Fathers, please stand up. Amen. Let's give them a hand. Amen. Amen. Stay standing. Stay standing. Stay standing. Nope, you don't get to sit down yet. Dads, I just want to say to you to never, ever underestimate the value and importance of your role. What a key role you play. You are very important to your wife, to your kids, to future generations, and to our society as a whole. You have a very important role, and I appreciate that. May God richly bless and strengthen each one of you. May His blessing be upon you. Amen. You may be seated. In our Sunday school class, our intergenerational Sunday school class, that we're studying prayer based upon the model prayer given to us by our Lord. And for that reason, it's commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. So I know that you know the Lord's Prayer, especially if you grew up in a liturgical tradition. And so here's what we're going to do. Think back to your liturgical tradition or your King James version of your Bible. And we're going to say the first six words of the Lord's Prayer together. Okay, so I'll give you a hint. It starts with Our Father and it ends with heaven. All right, okay? So here we go. Our Father who art in heaven. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Our Father who art in heaven. We get to call God, the creator of all things, the sovereign of all the universe. We get to call Him our Father. That is absolutely amazing. I don't know if you have stopped to think about that before or recently, but to call God, this amazing being who created each one of you, who keeps everything running, we get to call Him our Father. That really is an amazing thing. Just in the Gospels, God is referred to as Father 178 times. 178 times in the Gospels. 45 times in Matthew, 20 times in both Mark and Luke combined, and 113 times in the book of John. This really is an amazing thing that we can call God our Father. So what I want to do for the next few minutes is just to reflect on the fatherhood of God and how that applies to earthly fathers. Next week, I want to continue to look at the fatherhood of God, but next week, I want to specifically apply that to the needs of the fatherless. Because there's a huge need in our world, in our country, in our community, and in our church to recognize that there are needs of the fatherless and that God is our Father. So that's next week. This morning, I simply want to make several observations of the attributes and characteristics of our loving Heavenly Father. And then from those observations, we're going to make applications that are more specific to fathers. We often use the term theology, which specifically refers to the study of God, right? But we use this term in a broader sense to talk about the study of all things that pertain to God. And so we could do that on and on as we talk about the fatherhood of God and how it applies to this area and that area, but we're really going to focus in and say, how can we apply this as fathers? I purposely don't shy away from directing my comments primarily to us as fathers because we have a crisis in our generation. We really do. It's a crisis that where fatherhood is under attack. And many fathers have neglected or ignored or abandoned their role as fathers. And so we have a serious crisis that we're facing. And so it's paramount that the church speaks the truth about fatherhood and upholds and supports this vital family and societal role. And we need to call men, we need to call fathers to fulfill their God-given role as fathers. So we're going to dive right in this morning and talk about these different attributes of God. First attribute of God, our Father, is that God, our Father, is perfect. That kind of goes without saying, but often I think we miss that. He is perfect. In every attribute, in every way, God is perfect. He lacks nothing. He needs nothing. He has never had an evil thought, never had an evil intention. He has never made a mistake. He's never even slipped up. He never needed to mature and grow. He has always existed in perfection. Always. And not only is he perfect in character, but also in action. Everything that he does corresponds to who he is. He is a God of perfection. Now, this is both a challenging and an encouraging thought. It's challenging because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where the only other perfect thing is the Word of God. Everything that surrounds us is tainted by sin in one way or another. So we struggle to even understand or to fathom what perfection is. It's not easy for us to understand that. But this is also encouraging because it gives us hope that one day we can know and live in perfection. That is our hope in Jesus Christ. So what does the perfection of God have to do with our lives? The verse that I want to take us to in order to apply this to our lives is Matthew 5:48. In our ongoing study of the book of Matthew, we have studied Matthew 5:48. And it says this, "Therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Wow, that's a daunting verse. You're to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I want you just to remember the context of this verse from our ongoing study of the book of Matthew. Jesus is in the middle of a sermon that calls all of his followers, including us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ, to a radical, countercultural, and counterintuitive lifestyle. This call to be perfect is not meant to frustrate us, but it really is a call to the highest standard. But notice that this call is for Jesus' true followers. That's who it's for. Those that recognize God is perfect, but they are sinful. God is absolutely perfect, but each one of us are sinful. And we need a Savior to cleanse us from all of our sin. And so it's only in Jesus Christ that we can truly be perfect. And so I have a couple application points for that. We can only be perfect in a true sense by knowing and loving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's the only way we can truly be perfect. But there's another way that we can be perfect, and that is by pursuing holiness, by living a radically holy, self-sacrificing, and God-honoring life like Jesus did. That is the call to holiness. That's the call towards perfection. We are perfect in Christ, and yet we are called to live our lives following after God in His perfection. So God, our Father, is perfect. Dads, I know we stumble in many ways. I do all the time. But we are called to a high, high standard. Standard of perfection. God, our Father, is perfect. And by the enablement of the Holy Spirit, we can seek after Him, and we can seek to live a holy life. That's where we have to start. Second amazing thing about the fatherhood of God is that God, our Father, is loving. He is loving. 1 John 3:1 says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called the children of God, and such we are." You see, God's love for us is immense, and it's also intense. Immense and intense. He lavishes His love on us. He just pours it out on us. He demonstrated His love for us by sending His own Son, Jesus, to die and to pay the penalty for our sins. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." There's no greater love than this. So here's a very direct application then. The previous verse, John 15:12, says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." Now, isn't it strange that for some reason it seems we often think that that command to love one another applies to everyone else except those within our own house, right? Familiarity breeds contempt, right? It's easy to yell at your brothers or sisters, or to talk back to your parents, or to yell at your kids. Man, it's easy to do. But we're called to love one another, to truly love one another. Let me just say this to us dads. Dads, there is nothing manly about withholding love or the expression of love. There's absolutely nothing manly about that. I know that's what many in our society have come to believe, that it's sissy-like to show your love for your children. It is not. A true man shows his children his love. So love your children. Tell them you love them. Demonstrate your love for them. And then model loving the least of these. Model loving the least of these. The poor, the needy, handicapped, the homeless. Model that for your children. Show them that this isn't just a cognitive thing about love, that this is real, that we truly love other people. Love sacrificially. Love the unlovely. Sometimes the unlovely are part of our own family. Sometimes they're part of our own family. Love them for who God made them to be. Cultivate your love for them. Go to extremes to show your love for your children. I mean, just think about God's love for us. Did He not go to the greatest extreme to show His love for us? He sent His own Son to die so that we could be adopted into His family. That is extreme, and that is amazing. And so why should we not go to extremes to show our own children that we truly love them? We need to make an effort to do this. It doesn't always just naturally flow. Yeah, we love our children. Sometimes we have to say, I am going to show my children my love, and I'm going to demonstrate to my family that we love others. It has to be a conscious effort. The third amazing characteristic of the fatherhood of God is that God our Father is generous. He is so generous. It blows my mind to think about. We don't need to think much beyond our daily needs to recognize the hand of God in our lives. Think of how God meets your daily needs. And then multiply that times billions of people all over the face of the earth. Billions of people. God is supplying their daily needs every day. But that's just the beginning, right? That's just where we start to think about this. Think of the animal kingdom and how He supplies the needs of the animal kingdom. Every animal in every hole, every cave, every field, He is providing for them. That's amazing. He sustains all the marine life, all the plant life, all the microscopic life. He keeps the universe and our solar system in perfect order. All that and more is merely our daily needs. And He does so much more than that. Doesn't He do so much more than that? Matthew 6:26 says, "Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" So those are our daily needs. But on top of all that, most of us have way more than we need. We have technology. We have furniture. We have and we eat more food than we need. We have music. We have art. The list goes on and on and on. Think about the generous heart of God. He gives and He gives and He gives and He gives. He is a generous, generous God. Very simple application. Fathers, we need to be generous. We need to be generous. I don't mean spoiling our children with everything they ever wanted, because that truly spoils your children. But rather teach them generosity rather than stinginess. Teach them that it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. I think especially as American fathers, our tendency is to put material possessions before relationships, to get really angry about that thing that my child broke, that tool that they lost, that precious tool, right? That it's more important to yell at my child and crush their spirit than to lose a screwdriver. It's easy to do. We should have a generous heart rather than a stingy, greedy heart for material possessions. Let's not love our things. Let's love people. And then, not just within our own family, but to all those within our spheres of influence, be generous. Be willing to give and to give and to give. Be willing to give away your possessions. Remember the early church? That they were selling their possessions to help one another. They were selling their own land, their own houses to help others that were in need. Oh, we hold so tight to our stuff, don't we? And what a stumbling block that is to ourselves and to our children. Be generous. Give it away. It's just stuff. Lay up your treasure in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt and thieves don't break in and steal. Let's have an eternal perspective in that area. Let's be generous. Fourth truth about God, our Father, is that He is our authority. He is our authority. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is our Creator. He is our Savior. Certainly God has authority over all of His creation. There's no doubt about that. But those of us that have put our trust in Him, we willingly submit to His rule and His authority in our lives. We gladly bow before Him and say, "You are my God and I submit to You." He is not a harsh taskmaster. He is a loving, loving Father that cares for our needs. Hebrews 12, 6 and 7 says this, "For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. And He scourges every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" A loving father disciplines his children. God disciplines us. It shows that we are his children, that he cares about us. We have been adopted into his family. We are joint heirs with Christ. And so He is our authority, He is our loving Father, disciplines us. But never forget that our Heavenly Father is neither capricious, nor is He quick to get angry. He is not capricious, nor is He quick to get angry. Psalm 86:15 says, "But You, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth." So here's a very obvious application once again. Fathers, we are to discipline our children, but not out of white, hot, emotional anger. And I know you've been there, and I've been there. It's easy to do that, to just fly off the handle and get angry and discipline our children. That is not what we're called to. That will simply push our children away. That will provoke them to anger. We are to discipline our children in love, even as God our Father disciplines us in love. His loving kindness, His mercy is great. He is slow to anger. We're to discipline our children in love, in humility, in great humility, knowing that we too are sinful. We are very sinful. So we're to be humble about disciplining our children. We're to discipline our children with great patience, knowing that there is much grace given to each one of us in our lives on a daily basis. May we give much grace and much patience to our children. In kindness, not out of anger, not out of vengeance, and with consistency. God, our Father, is absolutely perfectly consistent, and we are to be consistent. Another frustrating thing, I think, for children is the inconsistency of discipline from their fathers. They discipline this way sometimes and then this way sometimes. We're to be consistent with our discipline. Fifth truth about the fatherhood of God is that God, our Father, always knows our needs. He always knows our needs. There's not a single moment that He is not aware of and taking care of our needs. Have you ever said this or felt this, that no one really understands what I'm going through? No one understands how hard I have it. You know, it may be very true for many people. It may be a pity party for other people. But in either case, God, our Heavenly Father, knows exactly. He knows exactly what you're going through. He does. And not only that, He knows your needs before you even express them. Before it's even on your tongue, before it's on your lips. You know what? Before it's even in your heart, He knows your needs. Matthew 6:8 says, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." He knows everything, and so He knows your needs. Psalm 23 is a beautiful picture of God caring for His children and meeting their needs. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." So two brief applications for this. Remember the old TV show, Father Knows Best? Well, today people would scoff at that and make light of that. But you know what? I think that more often than not, a father does know what is best for his family. I believe that. I believe that's God's created order, that a father should lead his family and that he truly knows what's best. Now, if he's a wise father, he'll consult with his wife. He'll get other wise counselors that are plugged into his life, giving him guidance. But I believe a father knows best in his home. The question, fathers, for us is, do we have the courage and the fortitude to lead our family in what we believe God is leading us to do? I think that takes great courage, great faith in God, to say, I believe that this is the path that God is leading us on, and we're going to follow this path. So I do believe that fathers know best. And then, fathers, thinking of how God knows our needs, how He meets our needs, second application is that fathers should provide for the needs of their family. That's very simple, right? Very straightforward. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." That is some strong, strong words. That we are to be providing for our family. And the context of that is certainly financially, but we need to expand that. Because there are so many more needs in our families than the finances. We need to provide for them physically, spiritually, emotionally. We need to guide and direct our families. We should be the provider, men. We need to provide for our families. Number six, in thinking about the fatherhood of God, God, our Father, loves His enemies. He loves His enemies. Romans 5:10 says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Now, this is not a casual, "I'll be nice to the guy I can't stand." No, that's not at all what this is. This is outrageous and intentional love for His enemies. God loves us in an outrageous way that does not make sense. Right? He loves sinners who are His enemies, who are shaking our fists at His face. And He loves us and He cares for us. Remember Jesus' words on the cross about those who were crucifying and ridiculing and taunting Him? What did He say? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Matthew 5:44 and 45 says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." Jesus is saying, do you want to be like your Heavenly Father? Because this is what He does. He pours out the rain, the sunshine, all His provision on everybody. Not just those that love Him, but those that hate Him. Those that are shaking their fists in His face, He pours His love and His mercy on them every day. So do you want to be like your Father? Then love your enemies, because that is what He does. These aren't hard applications to figure out, are they? Very simple. Dads, love your enemies. Don't just tolerate them. Don't just ignore them. But when we have enemies in our lives, we should go out of our way to show our love to them. Can you imagine the volumes that that would speak to your children if they saw an example like that in their father? Now, Dad's not talking about this guy behind his back. He's going and ministering to this guy. He's showing love, just as our Heavenly Father does. That's what my dad is doing. What an amazing example that is for children. Very lastly, thinking of the fatherhood of God, God our Father is faithful. He is so faithful. It's pretty sad. We live in an age of broken promises. Often we're paranoid because we have been burned by people. Many people are cynical because few people follow through with what they've said they'll do. Marriage vows are cast aside as quickly as they're made. Commitments are only good as long as one feels like keeping them. But God stands in stark contrast to that. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments." Wow, He's faithful. We are not always faithful. We break our promises. We disappoint people. But God is faithful. He is absolutely faithful. To give us hope, Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:13, "If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself." That is part of His character, that He is faithful. And so He will do that always, even when we're faithless, when we don't have faith, when we fail one another, when we fail God, He still remains faithful. So again, a very simple application to us as fathers. Fathers, be faithful. Be faithful to your wives. Be faithful to your family. Keep your word to your kids. Oh, how many times have we said, oh yeah, I'll do that later with you, and we never get around to it. We are to be faithful and to keep our words. Dads, I know this is a high standard, but we are called to this. We are called to be godly men, leading our families in love, guiding them. It's not easy, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, He can give us the strength to do this. Let's pray. Oh God, it is so good to call You our Father. Our Father who art in heaven. You are the Holy One. You are the Creator. You are the Sustainer of all life. And You love us as children. We have been adopted into Your family. What an awesome thing that we can call You our Father. Oh Lord, I pray that we would dwell upon this week, that we would think about how can I apply this to my life. And Lord, give us strength as fathers. Lord, You know in my own heart that I fail You so often. I thank You and praise You that You remain faithful. But give me strength. Give us strength as fathers to be faithful to You, to be faithful to our families, to guide them in righteousness and in truth. We love You and we want to serve You. Strengthen us and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name.